SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Discover, this is Daniela.
Hi, it's Jennifer Coolidge. I just want to thank you for making me feel so special. I earned cash back on debit for my dinner party groceries.
That's great, but with Discover Cashback Debit, we give everyone cash back on everyday purchases. Anything else I can help you with?
Do you like asparagus and mushroom sorbet? I've got leftovers.
Introducing Discover Cashback Debit, a checking account with cash back. It pays to Discover. Eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A small plane with seven people on board forced to make an emergency landing today on a snowy Virginia highway shortly after takeoff from Dulles International. The Cessna 208 single-engine caravan's pilot captured on live ATC.net while notifying air traffic controllers of the emergency landing. Authorities say no one was injured. That incident is under investigation. The campaign trail heating up with 4 days to go now before the New Hampshire primary. ABC News has learned South Carolina Senator Tim Scott will endorse former President Trump over Nikki Haley in her home state's primary next month. U.S. home sales in 2023, the lowest and slowest in nearly 30 years. Many home buyers sidelined due to the high mortgage rates coupled with low inventory. Sales of previously owned homes sank last year, down 18.7% compared to 2022. This is ABC News. A popular TikToker is supporting a new bill that aims to protect kidfluencers from financial exploitation.
Kids' exploits in family video blogs is fodder for internet skits by comedian Caroline Isom, with over 3 million followers on TikTok.
They are seen as these content machines, and they are presented to the audience like products.
Adding,
why do I have access to this child being disciplined?
Eason supports a bill in Ohio to mandate setting aside a percentage of earnings in a trust for child influencers accessible at age 18. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Spelman College, a private women's college in Atlanta, will receive a $100 million gift. The college says it's the largest single donation ever received by any historically black college or university. Officials say most of the money will be used for scholarships. The remaining funds will go toward improving student housing and academics that focus on democracy. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Wisconsin Assembly approved legislation that more clearly defines strip searches in schools. The bill would add to the current law, making it illegal to conduct searches that ask students to strip down to their underwear. The move came after six teenage girls at Suring High School said their superintendent ordered them to strip to their underwear during a search for vaping products in early 2022. However, prosecutors in Oconto County determined the searches didn't violate state law, which defines strip searches as when a person's private parts are uncovered and exposed. Thursday, the Assembly passed the bill, which was already approved in the state Senate. It will now move on to Governor Evers' desk. One of the two convicted in the 2014 Slenderman stabbing of a classmate has again filed a petition to be released from a state mental health facility. Back in 2018, Morgan Geiser was committed to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services for 40 years after being found guilty of attempted first-degree intentional homicide, but not guilty due to mental disease or defect. The 21-year-old Geiser previously withdrew petitions for early release from her commitment in 2022 and 2023. Anissa Weyer was also committed in 2017 for the attack. She was granted conditional release in the fall of 2021. Geiser and Weyer were charged in the stabbing when they were both minors. Fond du Lac police took action on a man who tried to set himself on fire. Police said a 40-year-old Outagamie County man poured gasoline on himself late Thursday afternoon. The man was located near a puddle of what police believed to be gasoline. The man then started a fire that spread to his lower extremities. An officer then grabbed the man by his arm, pulled him into a snowbank, and threw snow on him to extinguish the fire. The man was taken to the hospital for treatment of burn injuries. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Increasing clouds throughout the day today in our Real Country 1430 forecast. We have a slight chance of flurries or even some light snow. Highs near 7, northwest winds at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows near 8 below. Tomorrow, sunshine, highs near 10 above. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas Boys High School basketball tonight. The Panthers are at Boyceville. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 7. Tip-off at 7:15 on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at our website.
America's farmers and ranchers, this is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, my coffee cup is full. The government has been funded for a few more weeks, and we've got a lot to talk about here today on AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for joining us as we talk about issues impacting rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. And yeah, the government is funded for a few more weeks anyway. Congress avoiding a partial government shutdown. That's one of the big headlines we are tracking here on today's show, as they have kicked the can down the road, as I'm really starting to use that term a lot because I don't have anything else that's probably appropriate to say in regards to the situation. But nonetheless, Congress buying themselves more time to try and get appropriations and funding bills completed, as they've now extended their deadlines to March 1st and March 8th. We were going to see 4 of 12 government funding bills expire, including USDA, on Friday. But now Congress giving themselves a few more weeks to try and get something done. So that's the situation we're going to continue to watch. But we got other topics to talk about here on today's AOA. We're going to look in markets with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing coming up in segment 2. Get her perspective on price action we're seeing right now. In segment 3, after the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Andy Campbell, Director of Insights at Tractor Zoom, and get some updates on what's moving and not moving in the equipment market. Always enjoy a conversation with Andy. And then at the end of the show today, we're going to get another preview of Cattle Industry Convention a little over a week away in Orlando, Florida. Kristen Torres, NCBA Executive Director of Meetings and Events, going to join us for a conversation. First up, though, we're going to preview another big event that is just a few weeks away. That's Commodity Classic, happening in Houston, Texas this year. Joining us to tell us more about this year's event, he's one of the co-chairs from South Dakota. Brandon Whipf is with us. And Brandon, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Hope you're staying warm, and we appreciate the time. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, Jesse, thanks for having me on. We're doing our best to stay warm here. Got a little snow here in South Dakota this morning, but you know, we're doing well.
Well, that's all that we could ask for. And I know a lot of folks are probably looking forward to February 28th through March 2nd in Houston at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Probably going to be a little warmer, I would think, in South Texas as we get prepared for Commodity Classic 2024. And I know a lot of excitement. There is plenty on tap for this year's show, isn't there, Brandon?
There is. And, you know, certainly hope that Houston has a little better weather than what we're experiencing up here. And, you know, for those of your listeners who maybe are only slightly familiar with Commodity Classic, or maybe they've never attended before, I think that this year is a fantastic year for them to come and experience it for the first time. So we are in Houston, Texas. That's the first time in nearly 30-year history of the show that we've been in Houston, Texas, and it's a great city. You know, a great convention center. The hotels are directly adjacent, so there should be very little walking necessary. We have the largest trade show that we've ever had at a commodity classic, and that's going to be in Houston. It's going to happen on multiple levels of the convention center for the first time ever, and so we're really excited about that. I was looking at the cost of flights at the end of last week. I can report that I think they are the most reasonable flight prices that I've ever seen in almost 10 years of attending Commodity Classic myself. So I think that should be a real plus for people that are on the fence about attending.
Well, I know, too, that a lot of folks attend who are members of NCGA and ASA, which I know you are, of course, and that you throw in the wheat groups as well. You know, when you think about Commodity Classic, there's a lot of business that is done from the various commodity groups every year at the show, isn't there, Brandon?
There is, and there will be a lot of association meetings, and we will be discussing what our policy positions will be, you know, for the coming year on the issues that are at hand. But there's a lot more going on at Commodity Classic than just these association meetings. Even if you are not involved in those organizations at all, it's a great place for you to spend your week with us there. And we want to make sure that people really understand that we've got the FBI coming in on Saturday morning. Adding to what is already a really great group of educational opportunities for producers, the FBI is going to be talking about cybersecurity in agriculture. That should be really an issue that is at the top of our that's on our radar, because cybersecurity is becoming a really tough issue. And I know that the enemies of America would really like to hit us where it hurts. And the food system would be one of the great ways for them to do that. And so farmers do need to be aware of those sorts of things. And then on Saturday also, the Houston Rodeo. It's the largest rodeo in the world. Happens to be in Houston right at the same time we're going to be there. And so we were able to partner with them and offer to our attendees a very special pricing on tickets for the rodeo. And then a concert late afternoon, Hardy. The award-winning country music act, very, very excited to be able to add his performance to the experience that our attendees will be able to have there down in Houston.
Yeah.
So lots of really exciting things happening, Jesse.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. A lot of fun being had and a lot of great education, too. Like you mentioned, the FBI session on Saturday. I would agree with you. I think that is a very important session for folks to attend. And, you know, too, I was looking, I mean, two stages within the trade show, a lot of other great presentations and educational sessions. I know probably too much for us to get into here in this segment, Brandon, but your experience, you mentioned you've gone for many, many years. I would have to think you always take away something new every year when you go to Commodity Classic, don't you?
I do. For me, I have limited time to spend on learning about the new equipment and the new technologies that are available to us. And Commodity Classic allows me to be very efficient with that time, because all of the major companies bring their highest expertise people to our show, because they know they're going to be able to interact with farmers that are very progressive minded. So there's a lot of new products that are released at Commodity Classic every year. But I'll say this year in particular, I'm looking across the total suite of brand new products that will be released. And it is the most extensive and the most exciting that I've ever experienced. I've been attending Commodity Classic since 2015. Mm-hmm. So we're very excited about some of the brand new things that farmers are going to be able to see there and possibly take home some ideas for their operation.
Well, I know you can find more details in the full agenda, commodityclassic.com. Brandon, final thoughts from you. If you had to give like an elevator pitch, so to speak, to your fellow farmers and ranchers to get them down to Houston to Commodity Classic, what would you say to them, Brandon?
Well, I'll just highlight one example. John Deere, major equipment manufacturer. The last two times they've released brand new products, it has happened at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. So not a farm show. This year, they are actually going to be rolling out some brand new products that producers can see. We have a guy on our Commodity Classic Committee whose daughter works for John Deere. She won't even tell him what they are. So it's going to be a very, very, very special surprise. I'm not withholding any information that I have. I'm telling you, they are releasing some really major things, and I think producers would be really happy with their decision to come down to Houston and see those in person, on top of all the other amazing products that will be released.
Well, we're looking forward to it, and looking forward to being down there as well. Again, commodityclassic.com for more information. And we've been talking with one of the co-chairs of this year's Commodity Classic, Brandon Whipp from South Dakota. Brandon, thanks for the time today on AOA. We appreciate it. We'll see you at Commodity Classic.
Thanks, Jesse. We'll see you there.
And again, you can learn more online, commodityclassic.com. All right, coming up next, we'll talk markets with Naomi Bloom here on AOA. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, let's talk markets here on AOA today as we're trying to wrap up the holiday shortened week with a little bit of positive strength in the grains and livestock, too. There's plenty to talk about. There are a lot of things that folks are keeping a close eye on here in the market trade. Joining us for a conversation, Naomi Bloom, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing. Naomi, it's great to talk with you again. Hope you're staying warm there in Wisconsin.
Yeah, doing great. And we actually welcomed the cold. We've needed it because our ice had been too thin and our ice fishermen couldn't get out on the lake. So we are excited for the cold weather.
Well, the cold weather, I know, going to be sticking around a few more days, at least the Arctic chill anyway, and then maybe we'll get back to a little more seasonal cold temperatures, at least for winter here as we get into next week. Naomi, let's dive into these markets. You know, we kind of started the holiday week, I guess, in a cold way as well. But then here towards the end of the week, we're kind of reversing a little bit in this grain trade overall, trying to find some strength. I'm wondering here if maybe low prices are starting to cure low prices to a certain degree. Naomi, what do you think?
Yes, partly that. I think a lot of the negative sentiment after Friday's USDA report has now been priced into the market. From a technical perspective, March corn, in hindsight, had a head and shoulders formation on daily charts, and 440 was the downside target. So we hit that and tested it all week this week. It's held, and now we're able to reverse higher from it on some technical correction. Same with beans. It had a swing objective lower, which pointed down to $12 for the nearby March contract, and after all week of testing it, it held. And so from a technical perspective, we saw oats, Minneapolis wheat, Kansas wheat, and soybean futures yesterday either post bullish key reversals or bullish hook reversals on daily charts after testing support. So it really feels like we absolutely have a short-term low in place. We're seeing some profit taking, and now we are going to be setting the stage for any kind of friendly news we can see potentially in the coming weeks.
Well, friendly news, I would say maybe we got a tiny bit on Friday morning. We got a flash sale of to China. We haven't seen that in quite a while, and I know there's been a lot of talk this week as well, Naomi, about the state of China's economy. Some of their latest economic data looked somewhat poor, but, you know, a soybean sale to China is always a good thing to see and a potential kind of a short-term pop to the soybean market sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. 297,000 tons of beans was announced this morning, so that was really encouraging. I'm sure that China was also probably watching technical charts, too, and knew that this was a price bargain area. So we did have some negative news out of China earlier in the week, but this morning they released that their youth unemployment rate has improved. It had been closer to 20% in June. Now they have it pegged at 14.9%, so that was a little bit of an encouraging news this morning as well. And, you know, we're still not certain where that Brazil crop for soybean production is or isn't. So that is something the market's keeping an eye on as well.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of private estimates have continued to lower their numbers in Brazil specifically for soybeans and corn. And there's some talk that the Safrida corn crop could potentially be delayed. It largely feels to me, Naomi, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but now that we've kind of digested all the USDA data from last Friday, this market has now turned its attention mostly back to South American weather because really we're kind of lacking another story to kind of watch in these grain markets right now.
Yeah, so like you said, we've priced in all the negative news. I think that that report we had on Friday is going to be the most bearish thing that we're going to be seeing from now until May. That I think the worst is behind us. And to your point, we have to look forward. One thing to point out regarding corn and that Safrina crop in Brazil. So you got to remember that overall corn production in Brazil, all of it, is going to be lower than last year. Last year, it was 137 million metric tons. This year, the USDA already lowered it from their December number. It's now pegged at 127 million metric tons. Now, remember, only a quarter of that total corn crop is growing right now, with the other 75% that has to get planted yet. And with the bean crop that's growing now, because it got planted late, that means the beans are going to get harvested late. That means the second crop corn is going to get planted late. So it's already going to be facing some of their adverse dry weather conditions down the road. Now, the reason this is significant is because they're already going to have a smaller crop than last year. And the thing, the big thing is that Brazil's total demand between domestic consumption and what they're pegged for exports is supposed to be 131.5 million metric tons, according to the USDA, and they're only right now going to be able to grow 127 based on USDA projections. And that safrinha crop, three-quarters of the corn crop isn't planted, and it's going to be growing in potentially bad weather. So if bad things happen to that crop, that would be potentially good news for the American farmer. We might see an uptick on our exports, and maybe that's part of the reason why we had weekly corn export sales this morning coming in way above expectations at 1.25 million metric tons. Maybe the world is starting to wake up to the fact that our corn is cheap, and you can't bet on perfect production out of Brazil.
We're talking markets with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing. And on that demand aspect, I for one, am in that camp that we got to find some more demand here to try and help out commodity prices. I know a lot of farmers pretty frustrated with some of these price levels and hadn't taken enough advantage of some of what we'd seen, you know, throughout 2023 for some of their marketing. So what would you tell folks right now as they're taking a long look at their marketing plan here in grains, Naomi? I mean, we got a lot of carry in these markets still. I know there's some opportunities out here if folks are smart about their marketing plan, right?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is to keep it real from the standpoint of you've got to remember we have 2.1 billion bushel carryout for corn, and that's going to – we're stuck with that. We're stuck with that until we see either a dramatically lower production number here in the United States this spring and summer for what we're going to be planting, or our export sales would have to pick up dramatically. So we don't have a reason why we need to see old crop prices or like March corn futures go back up to 550. I mean, we don't have that reason right now. So any kind of a recovery bounce that we can get out of here, you do need to be making cash sales with old crop, because for dramatically higher prices, the only way that happens is if there's a disaster in Brazil, we have bad weather here this summer, and we see demand pick up. So again, keep your objectives real and be mindful of ways to forward contract your new crop corn, especially if we can get that these futures back up to the $5 area. That's a great place to be making sales. And now you got to really brush up on your marketing skills again. You can't fly by the wayside here and just think everything is going to be hunky-dory and something's going to turn around. You've got to get your orders in place for cash sales. Call your elevator now. Get the targets in place and on the cash sales and refresh your marketing skills in terms of buying puts or different put option strategies to protect unpriced bushels down the road.
Naomi, over in the protein sector as well here, looking to wrap up the week Friday. We got kind of mixed trade in cattle and hogs, decent export sales for beef and pork. I know, too, with cattle, we have a cattle on feed report coming out after the close on Friday afternoon. I got to feel like a lot of traders probably just positioning ahead of that report on Friday. And as we look at that report, is there any number in particular you're going to watch closely?
So you're right. It's quiet because we're waiting for the report to come out this afternoon. You know, we're all keeping an eye on that placement number. Trade is expecting it to be at about 95.5% of last year, when the range of expectations is pretty wide, 91 to 98. So I'm really keeping an eye on that placement number. The marketing category is supposed to be at 99.3 with a tight range, 98 to about 100.7. And the on-feed number at 102%. It does feel like the market has kind of shrugged off the reality that we did have, of course, more imports of cattle from Canada and Mexico. The USDA dropped that bomb on us back in November, and we've had a really nice recovery bounce. So we're going to be wanting to see where those placements are at, because overall we still have, you know, less cattle in this country than years ago, so that still is an underlying friendly factor. But going forward, we're going to want to see, you know, is the herd at all, is it slowly starting to grow, or is it still just consolidated? And then traders are going to still look ahead to the January 31st cattle inventory report, and that's the big one. That's the one where we get the really specific breakdown of all those categories, and then we're keeping an eye on both domestic and export demand as well.
Well, I know folks, if they have questions, they can reach out to you and the team there at Total Farm Marketing, 800-334-9779, or find you online, totalfarmmarketing.com. Naomi Bloom, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us on AOA, and we'll look forward to talking to you again down the road. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Naomi Bloom there with Total Farm Marketing. All right, coming up next, we're going to take a look at what is happening in the equipment market, prices, what's moving, what's not moving. Andy Campbell, Director of Insights at Tractor Zoom, joins us next on AOA.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Scranton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Milk markets were mostly higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk up 8 to 1573, March up 3 to 1608, April up 3 to 1683, May down 5 at 1747. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets closed mostly lower as the trade adjusted their positions ahead of the cattle on feed report. Hog markets continue to move mostly lower as well. Now, even though there has been some firmness in pork values and cash hog prices, there still was some profit-taking once again in the market. February live cattle down 45 cents to 174.37. January feeder cattle down 82 cents to 230.10. February hogs down 35 cents to 70.75. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets were mostly higher on the day. Now, the South American weather showed little change for first crop corn in Brazil, but there was some short covering after recent losses. Soybeans, meanwhile, they continue to move mostly lower. Soybean oil helped to drag the soy complex mostly lower. Wheat markets, so they were mostly higher on the day, and continued buying support from the strong finish on Thursday and the dollar softening. New crop corn up a quarter to 4.76. November beans closed steady at 11.91 and a quarter. And March wheat in Chicago up 7 3/4 to 5.93 and a quarter. I'm Brian Winnikins.
What is your greatest asset? A house? Your portfolio? What about your health? Your health is the most precious commodity you have. I'm Nikki Gillis, nurse practitioner from Provisions Health. Let Provisions Health protect that commodity with affordable health care and testing services for individuals, families, and businesses across western Wisconsin. When you visit provisions.health, you will find information on health services and upfront pricing so that there are no surprises. Providing affordable health care and testing solutions for western Wisconsin. Provisions Health, 3rd Avenue West, across from Security Financial Bank, Durand.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Alcivia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Alcivia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for sticking with us here today on AOA, Agriculture of America. Well, we talked about the commodity and livestock markets in the last segment. Now we want to switch over and talk about what's hot, what's not in the equipment market. How are things looking at auctions and much more? Joining us for a conversation, always good to chat with Andy Campbell, Director of Insights at Tractor Zoom. And Andy, great to have you back on the show. Our first conversation of the new year. Hope you're doing well, my friend.
Yes, Jesse. Great to talk to you as well. And doing well. We've got probably the fifth day that the kids are home from school for snow days. So that could go better. But beyond that, we're doing well up here.
Well, I was going to say, I think a lot of folks are, their kids have been home for a few extra snow days here with this frigid cold weather and much more. And so, you know, I know that's sometimes a challenge, but also sometimes fun for parents, too, to have the kids home. So, well, I know you have the kids home, so we won't keep you too long today, but let's talk about what's happening with the equipment market right now, Andy. And, you know, let's just go back and recap 2023 a little bit. I mean, end of last year, how did all the equipment at the end of year auctions perform? Kind of give us a rundown what we saw to wrap up 2023, Andy.
Right. Yeah. 2023, we just saw supply come back. You know, that's all that we were talking about, especially following 20 and 21 when there's a shortage. And so at the end of 23, with all the supply coming back and, you know, the outlook wasn't great for commodity prices, we were expecting prices to tail off just a little bit. And completely counterintuitive to that, at auction, we really saw prices take off, especially for things like low-hour combines. Sprayers did exceptionally well at the end of the year. And, you know, I think what happened was, you know, there wasn't a scarcity of equipment, but there was a scarcity of opportunity. And the farmers had profitability, some better than what they're expecting with harvest. And there was just this idea that in 24, that probably won't be there. And so what we really saw was not so much at dealerships, but at auctions, that a lot of people were going out there paying good money for those really high value, low hour pieces of equipment.
Well, those high value pieces of equipment, I heard a lot of that too, Andy. I'll echo your sentiments there. I think a lot of folks were more or less looking, if they were looking to make moves towards the end of last year with equipment, they weren't necessarily looking to buy new. They were looking to buy something, I'll say, gently used, seemed to be the theme I heard a lot of the last couple of months of 23, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And really our data shows that too. When I was able to dive into it, you know, combines, and there were a lot more combines last year, that even the newer classic combines, though, that were essentially 1 year old, those increased in value. Now, once you got older than about 5 year old combine, we did see that oversupply really pushed down on those prices, and that's continuing into this year. But yeah, new combines went up, newer sprayers definitely went up strong. And then for row crop tractors, and there were so many, especially the 8R series out of John Deere, there were so many of those, we expected that to drop, and those held pretty steady. And so I think some farmers got some decent deals and decent pieces of equipment at the end of 23. But as you got older in the equipment, again, especially for combines, a little bit for planters, and across the board with anything smaller like compacts, those prices did soften at the end of the year.
Well, Andy, what about right now? Let's shift the focus into 2024 a little bit here. We'll say this first quarter of the year. What can farmers expect? You know, you alluded to this. We have some concerns about farm capital and interest rates and things like that, and the overall ag economy and the overall economy here in the U.S. So, I mean, I have to think that's on the minds of farmers as they're making decisions on buying equipment and inputs, et cetera. So, I mean, as you look at the landscape here this first quarter of the year, what are you watching and what should farmers expect right now?
Yeah. Well, one thing I'm watching, at least from being a farmer myself, is my books and really starting to realize what my break-even point is on corn and soybean prices right now. And so I think that's entering into a lot of people's mind as they go into the beginning of this year. You know, the American equipment manufacturers just came out with their December data. They're pulling back on production of pretty much every large piece of machinery that's out there. But I think from a farmer standpoint, going into this year, they're going to be much more focused on ROI and what can they get their biggest bang for the buck, because that buck has shrunk a little bit. And I see two big opportunities for farmers here in 2024, at least the beginning. And the first one is with corn heads. The corn heads faced a lot of downward pressure at the end of last year. There's a pretty decent supply with those right now. And whether you go to a dealership or you can find the right one for you at auction, I think the corn heads, especially a chopping corn head, can be a positive deal where you're going to get a decent price. And from an ROI perspective, you hopefully can do less passes on the field, not have to chop up, those stalks. And so you could gain some money there if you find a good deal on the corn head. And the second thing is really in the self-propelled sprayer. Now we're at the other end of the spectrum in terms of investment, but you saw a lot of self-propelled sprayers do well at the end of last year, but there's still a massive amount of supply of those. And I think you're going to see a lot more of those, you know, not only a dealership, but coming to auction here. And with those, if it fits your operation, right, you can, you know, make the investment there. And I know a lot more people are applying fungicide because it's got a good ROI, and having the ability to apply that yourself, this might be the opportunity here in Q1 of 24 to look for those pieces of machines and maybe make that purchase.
We're talking with TractorZoom Director of Insights, Andy Campbell, here on AOA. Andy, as you look out to the rest of 2024, I'll expand my last question a little bit. Are there any other things you're going to be watching for, you know, as maybe we get into the summer later in the year? Can you look back at some of TractorZoom's data to maybe make some predictions for the rest of the year ahead? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and so we're always looking at that. You know, we've got a ton of data that will flow through TractorZoom.com, and we're always looking at that. And what our data scientist always tells me is like, hey, 3 months out, we can understand the market pretty well. 6 months, we should be directional. And, you know, beyond that, you've got a lot of variables that are out there. But what I can say for this year, there's a few things that I'm looking at. You know, some on the micro level, pieces of machinery. And, you know, I mentioned sprayers. And I think tractors are going to be interesting because from a dealer's standpoint, you know, tractors always had the adage of you can always sell a tractor, you know, that doesn't have the seasonality of other pieces. It's always useful. But some of the prices on some types of tractors have gotten pretty high and tough to make sense for a lot of farms. And so we'll be watching those values to see if they do come down, especially after the price increases that they've gone over in the last couple of years. So, you know, tractors are one thing we're going to be focusing on. And I think probably from a bigger picture standpoint, is technology, and specifically technology adoption. Because if people aren't spending big dollars on new pieces of equipment, they're going to be looking at what they have already and how can they make that work better for them. And so they might be tightening their belts, but they'll be looking at maybe pucks, so, you know, upgrade kits that they can do for their planters, now even sprayers if it's capable, or they'll just be simply looking at, you know, their tech that they have in the cab. And say, okay, how can I use my data to better advance my farm and get maybe a dollar or two more per acre out of it and not have to make a $100,000 decision? So I think those are two things that I'm going to be looking at this year to see if, you know, if tractors lower in price and if that tech adoption really starts to pick up on the farm.
Well, and Andy, to that point as well, I know this is something that we've all seen really over the last couple of years is the explosion of precision technology and the ability and the options, I guess I would say, to add some of that technology to existing pieces of equipment that you already have. I mean, the options, you know, I think back 5 years, there was only a few options out there. Now in 2024, I mean, there is a much wider array, a bigger plate, so to speak, to choose from, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and we actually have an AI language learning model project that's going on right now that's looking into this specifically for planters and other types of options you can add on to equipment. And what I think is going to happen, and this year we'll see if this actually comes to fruition, is that, you know, last couple of years we've been a little more flush with cash, and so kind of a land grab, and you're just taking new pieces of technology almost for technology's sake. Now I think, though, because we're tightening things up a little bit, I think people will be more discerning with where they put their investment dollars, and we're going to see certain technologies that have a proven ROI start to outpace other ones. And so of everything that's out there, we're going to have a bit of a winnowing effect, I think, on certain ones that farmers really like, but they've also seen it work. And then I think we're going to double down and get some refinement in with that. So it'll still advance the whole tech on planters, on sprayers, and who knows what else. but it'll be things that really add value to the farmer that I think we're really going to move forward this year.
Andy, I know folks, if they're looking for new equipment, they can find a lot of great information. You guys have a lot of resources at TractorZoom.com, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And again, getting back to the theme of use the technology that you have and just make it work better for you, that's something that we're focused on at TractorZoom. And at TractorZoom.com, you can go and set up a quick profile and just say, hey, this is the type of, this is my wish list. These are the pieces of equipment that I really want. And I want it at an auction or I want it at a dealership. And you can get immediate alerts whenever that stuff hits the market. And then that way you can go out, meet with your dealer, go follow those auctions, and you don't have to constantly be, you know, surfing the web and trying to find all those things manually. Just have the technology work for you. So we've got all that built in at TractorZoom.com. And we work with, I think it's over 1,600 auctioneers across the country and follow most of the farm equipment. So you can usually find what you need and have the technology work for you at TractorZoom.com.
Andy Campbell, Director of Insights at TractorZoom. Appreciate the time. We'll let you get back to enjoying a snow day with the kids. Thanks so much, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, Jesse. Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to get another preview of Cattle Industry Convention coming up here in just a few days with Krista Torres from NCBA next on AOA.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You've heard the buzz about IT jobs and cybersecurity and AI, right? Why not prepare for a career in these fields and take advantage of the high demand? You could enjoy a more rewarding and recession-resistant lifestyle. Train in just a few short months at My Computer Career. Are you a veteran, active duty military, or already in IT? Skill up for positions employers need to fill. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. That's mycomputercareer.edu. Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Neil Jahnke, a corn trading expert with CHS, will provide a 2024 corn demand outlook. Neil, domestic corn use declined last year. Do you expect a rebound in 2024?
2023 was a very different year. We had a very poor crop in the Southern Plains. We were shipping corn from North Dakota through our cooperative systems, South Dakota, all the way down to Kansas and feeding the livestock industry down there. We have some problems with our domestic demand. Our livestock margins, our dairy margins, our swine margins, our poultry margins are all break even at best. And then, of course, you look at ethanol. Ethanol margins are poor at the best currently. We've came through some headwinds there. But our demand picture, we're just not growing demand. We're not growing livestock and we're not growing ethanol demand.
Well, U.S. market share of world corn exports increased last year for the first time in 3 years. Do you expect more of the same in 2024?
We increased for one basic reason, and that was Argentina had a crop disaster. Their crop was down 30% year on year. It's doing the opposite. We're going to grow 20 million met ton more corn in Argentina. They're going to steal every piece of export business they can to get back in the market. Our Brazilian production has exploded. Brazil is going to outpace the U.S. for exports for the first time since 2012. So our export market does not look favorable.
Well, how will corn supplies and demand affect planting decisions and marketing strategies, Neil?
The market's expecting about 91 million acres. 91 million acres on a trend line yield will put our carryout close to 2.6 billion bushel, or the highest carryout in the last 20 years in the U.S. We're going to have to store corn in the U.S. The U.S. is going to be the corn carryout for the world. If there's corn carries, meaning that corn's worth more next year than it is this year, the market has proven that the U.S. will be the place that the corn is carried.
Thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA as we continue with our program. Great conversation there with Andy Campbell from Tractor Zoom. Always fun to chat with Andy. A lot of great knowledge and insight into what's happening in the equipment markets and looking at what's happening in auction trends and much more. And always fun to talk with Andy, and also fun to talk markets with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing. Earlier in the show, I had a preview of Commodity Classic with one of the co-chairs of the show, Brandon Whipp from South Dakota, and looking forward to Commodity Classic coming up here in just a few weeks' time. Well, also, we're looking forward to Cattle Industry Convention, CattleCon, as it is known, coming up here in just a few weeks here, and really looking for a great time in Orlando, Florida. I know we're working to connect with Kristen Torres from NCBA here on the show today and get a preview of what is happening at CattleCon 2024. I know I'm looking forward to being there here in just a little over a week. They're going to kick things off. They have what's called pre-con on Tuesday, January 30th. They got a grazing management workshop and an ag tour, and they got some different NCBA meetings and regional meetings happening on that Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, the 31st, things will get rolling with the kickoff to Cattle Convention. A little bit of a change this year. With the trade show and more, the trade show is going to kick off Wednesday late afternoon at 4:30 Eastern time. Before that, they'll have the opening general session at 3 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday, the 31st. They got the BQA producer forum happening on that Wednesday as well. They got a reception and live auction that evening. There's a lot of fun things that help kind of kick things off there at Cattle Industry Convention on Wednesday, the 31st. And joining us now to give us a better preview, a better description than what I'm doing, I would have to think, Kristen Torres with NCBA joining us. Kristen, thanks for being with us on AOA today. And I was just giving a brief start to the overview for Cattle Convention, but there's a lot that is on the agenda this year, isn't there?
Oh, yes. We have a packed schedule, as usual, for CattleCon. We actually have quite a few new things happening this year as well. Typically, we start the convention on Wednesday, but this year we're actually starting a little early on Tuesday afternoon, and we have a grazing management workshop happening, which is a brand new session. It's a half-day workshop for folks. It's looking like it's going to be very popular. Folks will walk away from that with a grazing management plan, which is going to be fantastic. Additionally, our region meetings have actually moved to a to Tuesday. So if folks want to find out what's happening in their region, they can do that on those region meetings. It's a great way to connect with folks in your area. And then we've made a big change to Cattlemen's College, where we have now education every single day of the convention rather than all at the front end of the event.
Well, and I know things like Cattlemen's College, and you mentioned the grazing management workshop and more. Kristen, I know that, you know, a lot of education producers, when they come to the cattle industry convention, I feel like there is so much that they could take away over the course of just a couple of days, different techniques that they might want to try on their farm or ranch. I mean, things like that. There's so much that folks can just learn by going to cattle convention, can't they?
Absolutely. Honestly, it's a great place to get all kinds of information that you need to make your operation more efficient, learn about sustainability, learn about the latest trends, find out what's happening in Washington, D.C., and things you need to be aware of. And then it's also a really great place to connect with other producers and other folks that are in the same boat you are with challenges that you may have on your operation. And additionally, it's a great place to have a whole lot of fun. We have also set the convention up to where it's very family friendly, but we kind of added some extra things this year since we're in Orlando, and we know that that's one of the most family friendly places on earth. So our Friday in the trade show, we're dubbing Family Fun Friday. We've got programming for kids. We've got a kids corral. We've got all kinds of attractions and things where parents can come in and get what they need for their operation, but the kids are also going to have a great time too.
We are talking with Kristen Torres. She is the Executive Director of Meetings and Events for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, getting a preview of CattleCon 24. And Kristen, another thing that I know has been going on for a few years now, I think is really cool that you guys do, you know, speaking of the learning aspect, cattle chats, you guys have those set up on the trade show floor, mm-hmm. and then the learning lounge too on the trade show floor. Those are a couple other great opportunities for folks to find some different knowledge and learn some different things, right?
Yeah, actually on the show floor, we have four different areas where we're offering education. So Cattlemen's College, as I mentioned, is being offered every single day now instead of just at the front end of the week. And we created a Cattlemen's College classroom on the show floor. And then we also have those two areas you mentioned where the cattle chats are kind of a TED Talk style opportunity. So the sessions are fast, quick sessions, 15 to 20 minutes. Those are running solid pretty much all day long. And then the learning lounge are a little more traditional, and they're about a 45-minute session. All of that is on the show floor in our education center. And then we also have the Stockmanship and Stewardship Demonstration Arena. And that's where we actually set up an arena on the show floor. We bring in cattle. We do low-stress cattle handling sessions. It's really, really a great setup for producers. And it helps that trade show to be more than just a trade show. You know, folks really have an opportunity to get a lot of education there as well.
Definitely. Well, Cattle Industry Convention, CattleCon 24, happening January 31st through February 2nd in Orlando, Florida. I know folks can learn more, convention.ncba.org. With that, Kristen Torres, Executive Director of Meetings and Events with the NCBA. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you at CattleCon.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, we're out of time here on AOA today. Thank you for joining us, making us part of your day. Coming up on our next program, we'll talk to Kirk Covington with Ag America and look at weather with John Baranek from DTN. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Do you know how much one stalk of wheat is worth? Well, you're about to find out. Wheat is a member of the grass family that produces a dry, one-seeded fruit commonly called a kernel. There are about 1 million kernels of wheat in a bushel, about 50 kernels per stalk, which if we do the math is about 20,000 stalks of wheat per bushel. That means that if a bushel is worth $8, then each stalk is worth about 0.04 cents. So, you would need 2,500 wheat stalks to equal $1. Now, that one bushel of wheat will yield approximately 42 pounds of white flour or 60 pounds of whole wheat flour. A bushel of wheat makes about 42 pounds of pasta or 210 servings of spaghetti. Wheat is the primary grain used in U.S. grain products. Approximately three-quarters of all U.S. grain products are made from wheat flour. And in the United States, 1 acre of harvested land yields an average of around 45 to 50 bushels of wheat. So if you ever wondered how much one stalk of wheat was worth, now you know. These farm facts brought to you by the American Ag Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes.
With savings at the Home Depot, we'll get your kitchen clicking. With top-brand appliances like a GE Profile refrigerator with convenient features like a built-in dual-dispense autofill pitcher. Plus, with seamless shopping in-store and online, everything you need for your kitchen is just a click away. Final days to get up to $800 off select kitchen appliances from top brands like GE Profile at the Home Depot. Pricing valid January 4th through 24. Gas ranges and dryers extra. U.S. only.